Welcome back to Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com, and it's a big weekend at the Genesee Country Village and Museum, which is just a lovely place to go hang out. It is their novel weekend featuring lots of activities surrounding Little House on the Prairie in the Pioneer Village, and also they've got The World of Little Women. If you want to taste pickled limes that were a favorite treat of Amy March. They've got games, learn about rights of women in the mid-19th century, and all kinds of other things going on at the museum this weekend. They'll have a Mad Hatter tea picnic by the Octagonal House, otherwise known as the Hyde House, which is very cool design. And you can learn to play croquet, as they did in the Queen of Hearts garden. And they'll have some treats, Eat Me and Drink Me, drinks in the pavilion. So this weekend, today and tomorrow, the Genesee Country Village and Museum, some lots of outdoor activities and some great weather today in particular to go out and check out the museum. They also are going to have local author Sally Valentine today, 11 to 4, and tomorrow, 11 to 4, in the Flint Street or the Flint Hill store. She has written a series, and she's a teacher in the Rochester City School District, a Rochester series for kids. The first was The Ghost of Charlotte Lighthouse, and her current book, Fire in Genesee Country. And this is set partly at the museum. So a chance to meet her, have her sign her books for family or friends maybe, or history lovers. Perhaps a connection to the Charlotte Lighthouse or something. She'll be there today and tomorrow, 11 to 4. So again, the Genesee Country Village and Museum, it is, they called Novel Weekend. And lots of other activities going on all summer at the museum. So kids 12 and under are free Thursdays during August. And a great chance to bring the kids, grandchildren maybe. They also have so much amazing architecture at the Genesee Country Village and Museum. You know, it's a time when people aren't traveling as much. You don't want to face quarantine after coming back from another state. So explore things right here. And the Genesee Country Village and Museum is a perfect place to do it. And through August 5th, they have something called Beyond the War. The last of these webinar series will be August 5th. It's Grave Matters of Mourning and Widowhood, the struggle for enfranchisement, security, health, and peace in 1860s America. They've already covered sacrifice and adaptation on the home front, war efforts toward women's suffrage, post-war ideas of wholeness and reconstructive surgery, becoming Frederick Douglass, that was a few days ago, and August 5th, Grave Matters of Mourning and Widowhood. So those are webinars, and you can go back and register, and so you can hear all of them. But you do need to register either for the entire series or for the individual session. So you could just do this one on August 5th, and if you like it, go back and catch some of these others. They have nice write-ups about them on the website. It's gcv.org. Treasure here in our community, and our kids have fond memories of being out there in many different times, all different seasons at the Genesee Country Village and Museum. It connects us with history, and perhaps even if you've lived here for years, you haven't been out there, and or haven't been out there recently, you need to get back out and see what it's all about. It is a gorgeous place, just, you know, 20, 25 minutes from downtown Rochester. Very, very quick to get to. And the if you have favorite destinations like that, email me, michael@saverlife.com. On the gardening show this morning, I talked a little about Linwood Gardens. They have another, the final open garden that's scheduled later in August, but may have some in September. And if you're interested, I would email them. It's $20 per person to spend the day there at Linwood Gardens, or part of a day. They don't have bathroom facilities open, so you might want to plan, you know, part of a day, and then, as I mentioned earlier on the gardening show, maybe go to the Hole-in-the-Wall restaurant in Perry and have some great food, explore Perry, and kind of make a day of going out in the countryside. And Linwood Gardens is, I think, maybe 20 minutes from Perry, which, of course, is right next to Letchworth State Park. And Chris Clemens posted in his Exploring Upstate blog, the East Hill Creamery in Perry has a cheese vending machine that's available 24/7 for people in Perry, but also campers at Letchworth have access to great cheese 24/7. And it'd be fun. I can't wait to go down and ask Betty and Gary Burley, the owners, you know, how much cheese do you sell from a vending machine all night long? Intriguing idea. And McCann's Meats also has a meat vending machine that's open 24/7 in their sort of entryway there. And it's who knows what else is going to show up next in a vending machine. But Explore Perry, one of my favorite small towns. And someone just posted something about Perry recently, it's a butter meat company there, which is a butcher in downtown Perry, all two blocks of downtown Perry. How many small towns like that have a butcher, which happens to be right next door to a cupcake bakery? But the butcher got mentioned in the Wall Street Journal recently. And that's pretty cool for little tiny Perry. During this pandemic, I mentioned the Genesee Country Village and Museum, but, you know, on your way to the museum or to Perry or wherever, maybe you have to do an errand or maybe you're going to see someone, stop and explore some of the villages around here, whether it's Caledonia, Mumford, perhaps Albion and Medina, or Phelps and Newark. There's hundreds of these small towns around us. Almost all of them have fascinating architecture, both in commercial buildings and houses, and they are really, it's a treasure that most people don't explore because, you know, you're in a hurry to get somewhere and don't have time to take the slower route through some of these towns and villages. But I encourage you to do that. And then send me some photos of what you see and what you discover. Maybe businesses, perhaps bakeries, or just some really beautiful murals, etc. Awful lot of things to discover both in these towns, but also, you know, just the natural beauty of the fields of corn or some of the farm markets. It's a gorgeous time of year. And Herd Orchards, as I said in the last hour, has got blueberries for picking. Picking blueberries is the best. You know, they're not up in a tree, so they're easier to get to. They don't have thorns like some other things, although there are thornless varieties of raspberries and blackberries. Blueberries also tend to ripen the whole cluster fairly well, so you can kind of pull the whole cluster off. And I think you'd be amazed at how fast you can pick blueberries. eating a few as you go, of course, enjoying just being outside and the fact that we really don't have black bears around this area much. So, you know, you don't have to worry about the bears and the blueberries, which if I was in the Adirondacks, I probably would be at least aware and careful of that. And the blueberries are huge. They're delicious. You can freeze them. Obviously, you can make pie, but, you know, freezing them for use this winter and next spring, they are such a great treat to have the local blueberries. So Herd Orchards has those for you pick right now. You do need to call, make an appointment. They don't want too many people at once out in the blueberry field. And 638-8838 if you want to call them. They're open till 3 today, generally Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 3. And keep in mind, you know, businesses have somewhat different hours because of the pandemic and the shutdown and now reopening. They are not, many of them are not back to quote-unquote normal business of any kind, especially given limitations indoors and all the precautions that people are taking. So, and I've run into some business owners who've had frustrated customers that don't really understand that, you know, things are not normal. So patience, empathy, all of that, really important during these days. And I've said it for months, wear a mask, and if you're near people, within 6 to 10 feet of people, wear that mask. Even if they're not wearing it, you know, it's peer pressure, it's a reminder, and it also protects you to some degree to wear that mask. And, you know, it's at some point, maybe more of the states will mandate it, that it's growing number of states are, because they have to, because the numbers of infections are going up. So again, we can keep New York State on this trajectory of reopening if we're careful, wear a mask, and make it a colorful one, make it a one with a statement, make it, you know, something interesting, color coordinate them. You know, make the same one for all the members of the family. You can also buy them at a number of places. The tailor shop down the street from us, Doran's, they're on Thurston Road here in the 19th Ward. They have masks for sale. They're available at the public market. They're available sometimes at some of the farmers markets. Lots and lots of places you can get them. And this past couple of weeks, I've been out in search of farmers markets. I've been to quite a few, and farm markets. I went to Sunscape Farms in Greece. I still got to get up to their farm market in Penfield, up on Creek Street. I was actually there back in April, long before they opened, and I got to get back up there, maybe stop at Schutz Donuts. They've been doing some blueberry donuts as a special. And then also been to Powers Farm Market, Gentles Farm Market, Kirby's out on the west side. They're very close to Herd Orchards. So if I go out to Herd Orchards to pick up fruit, I will, which is just a fruit farm. They don't sell corn or peppers or tomatoes. So I'll stop at Kirby's on my way back and stock up on some of those. They have beautiful vegetables right now. And then, of course, the farmers markets. I was at the Arundakoit Farmers Market a week ago. That's on Thursdays, and they got a couple food trucks. That's where I got my first peaches of the season. There was at the Arundakoit Farmers Market. They had two pickle vendors when I was there, and I assume they're usually there. And they don't have that many vendors. It's not a huge market. And yet there were two different pickle makers there. So if you like pickles, head to the Arundakoit Farmers Market. Hopefully both of them will be there. They had, one of them had several varieties, and one had a bunch. So you could probably have gotten maybe eight or nine different types of pickles between the two vendors there last week. The West Side Farmers Market, my neighborhood, is on Tuesdays. Also, not a huge market and not a crowded market. It's really it's a lovely place to shop. Some wonderful vendors, and it's easy parking in St. Monica's Church on Genesee Street, right near the University of Rochester. Also, the Brighton Farmers Market, of course, tomorrow. That is a great place to go, and you can order in advance from some of those farmers, you can shop in person tomorrow. It's 9 to 1, the Brighton High School parking lot, and the Brighton Farmers Market. And I saw Lighthouse Gardens has carrots available now, bunch carrots. I was addicted to those last year and can't wait to get some more of them. Todd Lighthouse has a salad CSA this year you could sign up for, and we did. But just as a reminder of the challenges of farming, he sent an out note this week that for at least a few days, he is not going to have any lettuce because the heat waves caused it to bolt. Lettuce likes cooler weather, and he was using irrigation and a bunch of other ways to cool down, try and keep that lettuce from bolting, which mine did as well about a month ago. So he's got lots of other things, radishes and garlic scapes. If you haven't cooked with those are delicious. At least for 1 week, he had, it was like a 700-foot row of lettuce that all went to seed. And so now he's going to have plenty of seeds, but actually probably took it out and they'll replant for later this season some additional lettuce. So just a reminder of, you kind of imagine 700 feet. That's, that's a couple of football fields of lettuce that just went to seed and no longer usable. When you're, I guess one of the great things for me about going to farm markets and farmers markets is that you get to buy directly from the farmer in many cases, or most cases. That's really the point of it. And, I saw some local produce in one of the big grocery stores recently, and sometimes I'll get that, but usually I'll go out of my way to go to the farmers markets or the farm markets, because that's how they are going to stay in business. When you buy directly from them, almost 100% of your money goes to them. They pay a small fee at the farmers markets, but it's not a big amount. I was like $50 for the day or something, and often less than that for some of the farmers markets. But when they sell to a grocery store, the farmers are getting somewhere between 5% and 15%, probably closer to 5%. So when you spend $100, let's say you stock up on all kinds of fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, and you're feeling good because you're buying from the local farmers, and it is helpful. But of that $100 you spend on fruits and vegetables, $5 to $10, maybe 15, is going to the farmers. So it makes a big difference to buy directly from them. And of course, the public market is open today, and also on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you have favorite farmers market around the region, there are lots of them. Take a few photos, send me a note. I'm going to be going to visit other ones. I know Perry has their farmers market on Saturday mornings, and there are many around the area. It's a great way to shop outdoors, and it's especially on rainy days. Of course, that's not today, but on rainy days, the vendors and the farmers really appreciate you coming to the farmers markets, because traffic is down on a rainy day, and yet they've done all the preparations. They've set up at the market, and they're going to be taking it down and taking it back home and unloading it. And it's a lot of work to be a vendor at a farmer's market. Even if you have things already made in advance. So you're selling cookies, and you know, you make those maybe a day in advance. You still have to load the car or the truck, set up at the market, unload all your things, and then load it up to head home at the end of the day or end of the afternoon. And I think most people don't realize how hard that is, how much work it is for the farmers and the vendors. So you show your appreciation by telling friends and family and neighbors about the farmers markets, by buying a little bit of extra to give maybe some neighbors or friends, and by going on those rainy days when fewer people are going to show up. So I'd love to see your photos of farmers markets, and you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. There was a really, really good article in the New York Times recently, just from a couple days ago, and this was about, well, the title is The Mysterious Life of Birds Who Never Come Down, which is an intriguing title, and it's about common swifts, which the authors are writing about London and England. I should have looked this up. I don't know if we have swifts around our area. We have martins, purple martins, and barn swifts. I think we have some very similar birds here in our area, and I've got to stop by the birdhouse and ask, and also Liz Magnotti, the general manager, does Saturday morning FaceTime events. You can tune in usually around 10 a.m., but also on Tuesdays when they normally do their tea and tweets in person. They've been doing them online, so you can tune in online, and I'll have to ask her this on Tuesday about swifts, because I didn't know much about them. This article, it's a pretty long article, and it's a fascinating look at nature, I guess, in general, which is why I really love this article. And you can read, I think, about 5 articles in the New York Times for free if you don't have a subscription, 5 for free each month, something like that. But the swifts are, they don't land to sleep. They fly. They can sleep while flying. And I find that hard to imagine. I know other birds do that. Albatross does. I don't know if seagulls can, but there are certainly some other seabirds that that do this. But it's a kind of a fun and informative look at swifts, maybe more philosophical than it is, details about the physiology of swifts. It's a little bit more philosophy and really well written. So look for that, and let me know when you see pieces like this. It's again the mysterious life of birds who never come down, and the subtitle: swifts spend all their time in the sky. What can their journeys tell us about the future? Again, really well written article, and it's nature in particular. I feel lucky that I don't live in a big city in a big apartment building, and am able to have a backyard where I can watch the monarchs lay eggs and raise monarch caterpillars. And I went out to Sarah's Garden Center this spring and got 2 bullfrog tadpoles, which take 2 years to mature. They actually live as tadpoles for 2 years, unlike most frogs and toads, which is just a one season life cycle, or one season of being a tadpole. The bullfrogs have 2, and those tadpoles have now turned into frogs, not particularly big frogs. They're young. I'm guessing that one might be male, one female, because they're quite a bit different in size. And they make this great chirping sound when they are sitting on the edge of the... We have a tiny pond. It's, you know, maybe 6 feet by 12 feet, a couple feet deep in the center, and a lot of it's fairly shallow. And they sit on some rocks, and you walk by the pond, and they'll chirp and jump in, which, you know, basically a belly flop. It's really quite entertaining. They're probably eating a bunch of insects, and we have lots of those, hopefully helping to make a dent in mosquitoes. We have some goldfish in the pond that eat mosquito larvae, and occasionally have dragonflies and damselflies that come through. A few different years, we've had ducks come and eat some of the water plants I'd just gotten from Virgin Water Gardens a few years ago. Those were just really common, like water lettuce type of plants. It's a tough landing for ducks and herons here because of fences and trees and houses and garages. But so they haven't shown up too much. Occasionally raccoons come in and explore the pond. It's really kind of amazing to have nature right here. And you can do this in a half wine barrel. I've seen the half wine barrels available from several wineries. Dr. Frank usually has some. They're brand new, virtually. I mean, they use them for a couple of years. They're stored inside, and they are gorgeous. Maybe $50 for half a wine barrel. But obviously, it's meant to hold wine or water, so you don't need a liner for it. And it's really just a great way to have a little water garden in your backyard or on a patio, on a deck or something. Of course, you fill that with water, it's going to be pretty heavy, so you got to be a little careful where you put that on a deck, perhaps. But again, you don't need a liner. You can get a little aquarium pump, which is what I used when I had this type of small water garden. And then I would put a couple flat rocks over the one edge of the wine barrel, and then the recirculating hose would come up and kind of through, and the rocks would hold it in place, and the water would cascade off the rocks. I'd tilt them a little bit so the water doesn't go backwards, and then, you know, out of the wine barrel. And you could put a little water lily in there. You could put a lotus plant. Gardens, you put a couple goldfish in for the summer season. Maybe put it somewhere with some shade and some sun so it doesn't get too hot. But you got the sound of running water. You've got maybe some water lilies or lotus blooming, and a couple of goldfish. It's really a great treat to have. And that little pump from the pet store is going to cost you all of, I don't know, $10. The wine barrel is going to last for quite a few years, so that might be $50. And I would watch out getting wine barrels. I would say in general for garden centers, they don't tend to be really high quality. They tend to have been left outside for a long time. They work great for plants, and you want to drill holes in them for drainage if you're going to use them for plants. But these, if you want to use them for water in a water garden, these half wine barrels from Dr. Frank are pretty amazing. And your car smells good when you're driving home too. They don't always have them, so call first if you want one, and they can probably put you on a waiting list if they don't have one, and call you when they do. Dr. Constantine Frank has been setting up some private tours. They, in the past, had been widely recognized for their 1886 tour and tasting experience, and those were done in a renovated 1886 stone building that's next to the winery. So, obviously, with the coronavirus, they have imagined, invented this, and created a private tasting and touring experience for your group, and it takes about an hour and a half. It's $75 per person, and one of the most memorable experiences you've had at a winery. Because you visit to established in 1980s. And that was Dr. Constantine Frank's son. He didn't want to compete with his father, and his father didn't want help in the wine business. So Willie Frank had his own business. He was a photography and camera dealer in Long Island and in New York City. Sold those, represented camera companies, I think, and had his own business separate from the winery, but on weekends would come up and, again, his father didn't want to help. He didn't want to compete with his father, but he was able to buy the building next to the winery, which was owned by Grayton Taylor, part of the Taylor winemaking family, and it's a 1886 stone house that was built to make sparkling wine in the 1850s, 1860s, all the way through Prohibition. Sparkling wine was a huge business in the Finger Lakes, and the building that you'll see as part of this private tour was where they made sparkling wine in the 1860s. And seeing this cellar, which again has some amazing history to it, it's worth the $75 and tasting the wines there. It is amazing. Impactful, but one of the most memorable places I've ever visited in a winery anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. I haven't visited that many wineries around the world, but a couple of them. This is really a great history. Fred Frank, Willie's son, told me there were, at any one time, there's something like 130,000 bottles of sparkling wine in that cellar. So when you go down there, you're going to be seeing something like 130,000 bottles. Now, you won't see them all because they're stacked in tunnels, basically. And it is just fascinating. You've got to see this. And it wasn't available, it wasn't open to the public until a few years ago. And I got to go down there as a media person doing interviews with Willie Frank and Fred and Fred's daughter, Megan. She's the fourth generation of the winery. So I got to see this space. And I would tell people about it, find a way to set up a tour to go down and see it. And now it's part of their regular private tour. So you get to see that. You get to taste wines paired with some curated local cheeses in that reserve room, which was renovated just above where the sparkling wine is produced. And then there's still time. You get to taste some of their 2019 red wines aging in barrels with some local chocolate. So a full experience for an hour and a half or perhaps a little bit more at the winery. Reservations in advance are required, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays is when they're booking these at Dr. Constantine Frank. So $75 per person. I think you will leave that tour trying to figure out when you can go back and do it with some other friends and family that you want to introduce to this winery. Got a really nice letter, email from a listener a couple months ago, and they were talking about the move, leaving the radio station and going to just online broadcasting and podcasting. And they said that they just really appreciate all the places that I've talked about over the years and mentioned, that they don't drink wine, but they'd introduced, I think they said, dozens of friends and family and people to Dr. Constantine Frank because of the story of Dr. Constantine Frank coming here. And it is pretty amazing. You should get his biography. You can order it online with some wine or without some wine. But about Dr. Frank, just an incredible pioneer here in our area, and one of the first 52 inductees in the Wine Spectator Hall of Fame from around the world. When they formed that Hall of Fame probably 20 years ago, he was one of the first 52 inductees. So again, these private tours are available Fridays and Saturdays by reservation at Dr. Constantine Frank. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. I'll be back next week with gardening, food, restaurants, discover the Finger Lakes here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.